the New York Jets are not and should not fire Robert Saleh in the middle of a season. It's stupid. It doesn't serve any purpose. It's not going to work. It's not going to make sense.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So there will come a point, probably at some point today, where I've got no other choice as a Jet fan but to embrace the future and the hope of this season turning around. But when I said that on Thursday, I meant it. And when I found out the news earlier this morning that the Jets were shockingly firing Robert Saleh, my first reaction was not the same reaction a lot of Jet fans have, which is good, he sucks, great, let's turn the season around. My first reaction was, it's just another reminder that the franchise I happen to root for, the franchise that Joe Beningo happens to root for, the franchise that, I don't know, 40% of people listening happen to root for, they are a dysfunctional mess that has no idea what they're doing.
The New York Jets suck.
And don't take that as a defense of Robert Saleh. I have my issues with Robert Saleh. But what I said on Thursday is the way I feel right now at 2:02 on a Tuesday.
And you're right.
Am I right?
You're absolutely
firing
right.
Firing this coach in the middle of the season for an interim and trying to have success that has never happened in the history of football is a desperate move. And the other thing that scares me, because we've had a few hours since this story broke, so a lot of little bits have come out. According to Peter Schrager, who I trust, Joe Douglas wasn't even in the room. So the owner of this team, for whatever reason, and there are a lot of theories, and we'll get to all of them, decided on his own, I'm firing the head coach. So for every Jet fan that thinks this is a good thing, oh, great. Yeah, maybe it'll be a good thing. I hope it'll be a good thing. But in this moment, it's another sign that this organization is a clueless mess.
Well, when you are a game away, and that game potentially could be on Monday night, from being first place in your division, 5 weeks into an NFL season, everything that you're saying makes no sense. Meaning, I'm going to fire the coach right now. Because it doesn't make sense. It makes you scratch your head. It makes you wonder why Joe Douglas has not spoken yet. This happened 3 hours ago. Joe Douglas is not scheduled to speak yet. Maybe one of the owners is going to speak.
I do want to add to that. At 2:30, Woody Johnson will speak.
Well, there you go. So at least I hope he accepts questions and is allowed to be, I don't know, analyzed on why he made this decision, because it feels rash. It feels rushed. It feels like it was something other than football related. And we'll get to all of it. I mean, we'll hear from Woody Johnson and then we'll make our own evaluations. But to me, this doesn't make sense at this juncture of the season. We've said it yesterday, and really the last couple of weeks, with this whole Aaron Rodgers offense situation with this New York Jets, because their defense is playing fantastic, and they kept them into that game over in London last weekend. But offensively, they're still trying to find their rhythm. Do they need some more accountability? Absolutely, because it's little things that are costing them from big moments or big plays or whatever you want to say. So maybe there's a lack of accountability that needs to be addressed. But you don't fire your coach when you're 2-3 in a game out of first place.
You know who does?
In the division.
You know who does, Tiki?
Woody Johnson does.
Organizations
clearly.
That are clueless. The New York Jets are a clueless mess of a franchise.
It feels like an emotional rash decision.
Yes, it feels like a decision that I would make, or Beningo would make, or BT would make, and that's not a knock on the
but
three of us. We're fans.
But you can't run your organization like a fan.
I know that. No, I agree with you. And I know people listening are going to somehow take this as, Evan, why are you defending Robert Saleh? I'm not defending Robert Saleh. But when they made the decision to let him start this season and be the head coach of this team, a decision that Sean and I argued about, and I own that. When you make the decision for him to be the head coach, I'm sorry, you can't 5 games into a season say, screw it, I'm angry, I'm mad, I'm going to make a change. I hope I'm wrong. I pray to the sports gods that we're going to be talking about Jeff Ulbrich as the next great NFL head coach.
And by the way, you could be.
We could be, sure. I hope so. That's why you're going to hear from two Evans today. the emotional Evan, who's pissed off that this franchise has no idea what they're doing, and then eventually there's make peace with this Evan, which we all do as sports fans. Where no matter what we think or how angry we are, we eventually say, all right, I hope it works. And you try to rationalize why it works. But I don't think this makes any sense. I think this is a franchise that's run by buffoonery. And I can't wait to hear from the owner at 2:30. We will hope and attempt to play it live right here on The Fan. And we'll hear from Woody Johnson. So can we can respond to it. But the one thing I ask from owners, whether it's James Dolan, Steve Cohen, Woody Johnson, John Mara, or anybody else, is hire the right people and let them make the decisions.
Right, right. Now, just as a quick aside on Jeff Ulbrich. Jeff Ulbrich is a hell of a head coach, a hell of a coordinator, and potentially a hell of a head coach. He's one of the rising stars from a defensive standpoint in the NFL. We always talk about the offensive head coaches, the Bobby Slokes of the world, mm-hmm. or these other coordinators that are around, Ben Johnson, who's up in Detroit. But there are some defensive head coach, potential head coaches that were rising in people's minds. Jeff Ulbrich was one of them. He played for a long time. He is a hard-nosed, aggressive, but very well-liked defensive coordinator over there. So there's a chance this turns out to be a great move. But with that being said, it still feels like a rash, emotional move and not one based on anything football-related. And should Robert Saleh be fired if their season turns, you know, goes the way? Sure. Of course. Ultimately, it's a performance-based business. You have to figure out how to win football games, and Robert Saleh hasn't won enough of them. But at this point in this season, it feels so disruptive to fire your coach this early and really don't have a reason for it.
Well, there are three possibilities on why right now, before the Jets play a game for first place in the AFC East, that Woody Johnson made this decision. Three of them. Number one, they're 2-3 and he's frustrated mm-hmm. and he sucks and the team's undisciplined
right. not
and they're
meeting,
a mess.
Not meeting the expectation.
Okay, that's option number one. Option number two, Woody Johnson used to work in the United Kingdom. He used to be the ambassador in the United Kingdom. And Woody Johnson was sitting there with his British friends and was embarrassed by the product on the field. That's option number two. Option number three may be breaking news to a lot of people listening. And I understand if it is. But to some, you may have heard this already. On Sunday, Robert Saleh wore a Jets sweatshirt. On said sweatshirt was a Lebanese flag. Robert Saleh is Lebanese, or at least his parents are Lebanese.
Yes.
And this is something the NFL has done over the last few years, where they allow coaches and players to wear the country of a flag of where they're from, or where their parents are from, or where their heritage is. So Robert Saleh wore a Lebanese flag. Based on what's going on in the world, based on the anniversary of that horrible day a year ago, October 7th, there were some, maybe many, who were offended by that flag being worn. And they took it, right or wrong, as a political message.
Mm.
It is possible, and Woody's got to answer that question.
Right, somebody's got to ask him that question.
Did you fire Robert Saleh because you were upset about the flag he wore on his shirt because you did think it was a political message? I have no idea if it was. Some people feel like it is. Some people feel it was a protest. It was a comment on what's going on right now in the world. I don't know if that's the case, but what we do need to know from the owner of this team, did that lead to you making this decision?
Yeah, because ultimately, as we've been saying, and I'm sure others have said as well, the timing of this feels very odd. Now, it is a long week, put that in quotes, because they play on Monday, so there's an extra day. Tuesday is a bye day, and generally speaking, so it is a day where it's not going to be disruptive to whatever plan was going in from practice standpoint or media standpoint or whatever it may have been, so guys aren't around. So in some regards, it's the right day to do it if you're going to do it. It just feels really early in the season after a 2-3 start with Aaron Rodgers still finding his new sea legs after his Achilles injury from a year ago to fire the head coach because of what it means for everybody. So, because right now, when your head coach gets fired, it tells you we either go win it all or get deep into the postseason or there are wholesale changes coming. So, my job's not safe. Your job's not safe. The guy next to you's job's not. The GM's job's not. Everybody's on notice when you fire your head coach this early. And so, sometimes that it motivates guys. A lot of times it makes you so worried you can't do your job.
Right.
And I've been there before, and it's rough. It's a rough grind when your head coach is fired and you still got to go do your job because you think you're next. And that creates a very hard environment. So this is where, I mean, Jeff Olbrich in his interim fashion is going to earn his paycheck over the next few weeks.
All I care about and all Jet fans care about is winning. That's all we care about. And this is a season where winning was the expectation and winning was the demand.
Yes.
If they didn't win this year, everybody's gone. And when I say winning, I don't mean 9-8. I don't mean that. I don't mean 10-7. I mean being a playoff team and going on some kind of run. I'm not going to tell you it was Super Bowl or bust, but they needed to be legitimate. They needed to be a legitimate contender. And what worries me, and maybe for some Jet fans you throw this out, and maybe you throw this out, T, because one of the arguments we've had over the months and year plus that we've worked together is, Evan, stop caring about history. It doesn't matter. Right. Well, here's a piece of history that concerns me. When in the history of this sport, not the NBA, not Major League Baseball, not the NHL, in this sport, the NFL, when has this worked? I want you to tell me when this has worked. We can do this in baseball all day. Met fans are about to look across the aisle and see it this afternoon. Rob Thompson is a living, breathing example of it working. They fired Joe Girardi, and the Phillies went on a great run. Teams have that in baseball. Teams have that in the NBA. It doesn't happen in the NFL. So trust me, we Jet fans are in the same boat. We're desperate for winning. We all are in that same area. We just want to see them win. Where I differ with you, for now, until I have to make peace with this decision, is I don't see how this gets you any closer to winning. I had an argument with Tommy a few days ago about it. I stand by our argument. I said to Tommy, I get it. Robert Saleh stinks, this and that. I don't believe this decision gets you closer to winning. And I want to win. Right. We all want to win.
Of course.
There's no tangible proof or evidence that changing your head coach, hiring an interim, leads to anything. Rich Bisaccia is like the one example.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. Bisaccia did it. And actually, I mean, maybe it's a Raider thing because Antonio Pierce kind of did it, even though they didn't win ultimately and they didn't make the postseason. But the culture changed pretty immediately out in Las Vegas with the Raiders. The one thing that you can, I guess, count your blessings on with this is that operationally, meaning offense and defense and special teams, nothing's going to change. Because unlike with some head coaches in the league who call plays on either the offensive defense side of the ball, that's not Robert Saleh's task.
Right.
It hasn't been his task. Jeff Olbrich calls the defense. Nate Hackett calls the offense. And so the operations aren't going to change. And so this really becomes a put more on Jeff Olbrich's plate, but everything else is kind of going to stay the same. But it also creates this tense, what the heck is going on moment for this team and for this organization.
And let's get to the quarterback, because the quarterback's the biggest problem. I mean, if we're going to have an honest discussion about this, Aaron Rodgers has sucked the last 2 weeks. It doesn't mean he can't.
And he said so, by the way.
No, and I appreciate that. Right. Listen, I appreciate that Aaron Rodgers isn't delusional to think he isn't the problem. He is the problem. This offense is the problem. The reason the Jets lost the last 2 weeks is because their quarterback has not played well enough.
Right.
Because their offense has not played well enough. That's got to change. And as of right now, nothing's changing with that. Aaron Rodgers is still the quarterback. Nate Hackett is still the offensive coordinator. They haven't traded for Devontae Adams. And if Aaron Rodgers had anything to do with the firing, if he was the one who said, I've had enough of Robert Saleh, if that's the case, it just puts even more on the plate that what we already knew, which is this is all about this quarterback,
right?
And he better freaking win. And so far, unlike the other ones who've come here, what's the word I use for these guys again? This
mercenary piece of crap.
Thank you, Logie. Unlike the other mercenary pieces of craps, they gave you something. Mm. Wasn't a lot, but they gave you something. Aaron Rodgers, other than Ajita and a lot to talk about on sports talk radio, has given us nothing.
Look, I hope that's not the reason. And I don't think it is. Usually you get a gut about these things just from, and we're on the outside. We have no idea. But usually you get a gut about these type of things. You felt it with the Nets, to be honest with you. It felt like, oh yeah, this is definitely from the stars.
This is the same thing, by the way. The Nets and the Jets are like, they're cousins.
But this doesn't feel like an Aaron Rodgers thing. It doesn't feel like, Because if Aaron Rodgers was doing this, he kind of would let us know.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because that's
would he though?
Yes. Oh, I see what you just did. Nice one, Sean.
Well, hasn't he already let us know between the cadence debate and the push her
no, yeah. Because, but like whenever he does a media session, like you if you read between the lines or read the undercurrent of what he's saying, it feels like, yeah, I orchestrated this. You're going to see something happen. It doesn't feel like that.
Well, he speaks tomorrow, so we'll hear what he has to say tomorrow.
The owner of this team, Woody Johnson, will speak in about 15 minutes. We will do our best to listen to it, to hear it, and to react to what the owner of the Jets has to say after this shocking decision. The happiest person right now about the Robert Saleh firing? Aaron Judge, because at least for a few minutes, he doesn't get the heat of Yankee fans after again not producing and the Yankees falling even to Kansas City at 1-1. We will get to the Yankees later. For the Met fans in the car, you better be in the car because you got to get there early. There's a lot of traffic. The vice president's in town, and you do not want to miss first pitch. Met fans will be talking to you. Yankee fans will be talking to you. But Jet fans, are you really celebrating another example of the New York Jets being a completely clueless organization? Your call's next, 888-808-1019. To my fellow Met fans, we are 3:30 for 2.5 hours away from the first home division series game in 9 long years. City Field is going to be bumping. People on the trains, people in the car, a 5:08 first pitch. Try to get there as early as you can. We'll keep you entertained on your ride. If you're dreaming about going to tomorrow's game, Game 4 of the National League Division Series, what have I told you? At some point during this hour, the 2 o'clock hour on Evan and Tiki, you are going to hear a sound. That sound will clearly tell you, call in right now, and you can win tickets. Oh, my God. There it is. It's pretty obvious. So at some point, that wasn't the cue. That was an example. At some point in the next 35 minutes, you'll get that chance to be in the building. And let me tell you, I know this firsthand because unfortunately I can't be in the building. This is one of the hottest Met tickets I have seen in a very long time. Since the World Series, clearly. I don't think there's been a game at Citi Field since they were in the World Series back in 2015 that has been as in demand and as hot as getting in the building late this afternoon for Game 3 between the Mets and the Phillies. More on that later. More on the Yankees losing Game 2 and now having to sweat it out as they head back to Kansas City. But obviously the biggest story right now, the stunning news that Robert Saleh is no longer the head coach. Woody Johnson fired him. Did Woody Johnson fire him because he was pissed off that Robert Saleh wore a Lebanese flag on his sweatshirt on Sunday? Did Woody Johnson fire him because he was embarrassed in front of his British friends that the Jets lost brutally to the Minnesota Vikings? Or did Woody Johnson fire him because he's just like, hey, I've seen enough. They're an undisciplined mess, and I've got to try something. We will hopefully hear from Woody at some point later today. I've heard it's going to be soon, in the next 10 minutes, and maybe get some answers to these questions. I think this, again, proves the Jets are a dysfunctional mess. I hope it works out, but this never works out. Like, think about Matt Rhule being fired a few years ago.
Yeah, it didn't have an immediate effect on the Carolina Panthers, and it had a 2-year hangover. Actually, probably more than that, because they're still hungover.
And you know why the Panthers are hungover?
With the new, the now second head coach since Matt Rhule.
Because they're a dysfunctional organization, too. Mm. It starts from the top. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Richie in East Islip. What's up, Richie?
Okay. Let's start with this. 6 GMs. Okay? This is what we've had since he bought this team. 6 GMs. 7 head coaches now. Okay? 3 all-pro players in the 25 years that he's on the team, okay? Now, they don't go through the precedent where they're going to let just, and you guys look up Woody and go online and go to his Wikipedia, and it says, what is he? He was born American royalty into the Johnson film. That's what we have. So they didn't go out the NFL and actually get a businessman, someone who earns the money to buy these type of teams at the amount that they cost. Okay, so what happened? So we ended up having somebody who bought it as a toy. Basically, am I wrong so far?
No, basically, he
has money in access, and when he grew up and he was being told his stories, not only did he take the team and do what he wanted, but I think The Wizard of Oz was his favorite show of all time because he made our helmets Emerald City green because they're not even the same color they used to be.
Richie,
I often say,
Richie,
yeah.
James Dolan. Everything you said applies.
No.
And there, he's got two in a day.
Tell you why. Right. James Dolan had to run the cable company. He actually had to run a business. Evan, he actually had to do that. Woody is Arthur from the movie Arthur.
Yeah, but wait a second. Woody Johnson is the son of the Johnson & Johnson heir. He's the heir to Johnson & Johnson, and James Dolan was the heir to his father and everything he owned. My point is this. Here's the problem. We're stuck. He's the owner of the team. We're stuck until Tiki Barber did what he did 5 years ago, and he goes on national radio and says, hey, the Wilpons are selling.
That's not happening.
He's the owner. And so my point of bringing up James Dolan is that you can be everything you described and still have a functioning winning franchise, as the Rangers and the now Knicks are proving.
You have to have the right executives or the right coaches or whoever is creating that culture. You have to have those guys in place so that... Even if the owner doesn't know what he's doing necessarily, you can find a way to be successful despite it. That's basically what you're saying.
And you know what else? I really believe this, and I think George did this badly too during a lot of his time as the Yankees owner. We only talk about George doing good stuff. George did a lot of bad stuff. There's a cardinal rule in sports ownership, in my opinion. You hire smart people, and you let them make the decisions. This reeks, until proven otherwise, based on the early reporting, that Joe Douglas had nothing to do with it.
No,
how a Jet fan could be okay with that is beyond me.
No, I think this definitely is Woody's decision. This isn't the general manager's decision, simply because we haven't heard from the general manager. If Joe Douglas was making this decision, I believe that Joe Douglas would have, one, been there, and two, have spoken on it at this point. And he has not. He's silent. Probably because he's as shocked as everybody else. Because from the reports that we've heard, and again, you take them for what they are. Robert Saleh came into work today as business as usual. Tuesday off day. Let's get ready for a week. Play Monday night football. And Woody Johnson and I think Chris as well came into his office and told him he was being relieved of duties. And it shocked him and everybody else involved.
Mm.
So I don't think this is a Joe Douglas thing. This feels like a Woody Johnson thing,
and that's a problem. Even when you agree with it, because you don't think Robert Saleh's a good head coach, I don't want Woody Johnson making football decisions. Do you? That'd be my question to any Jet fan. Are you good with that? Like, say what you want about Joe Douglas. He hasn't been perfect. I want Joe Douglas making football decisions.
He's put together a hell of a roster.
Right. It just hasn't won anything.
It just hasn't won yet.
Let's go to Pete in Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. You know, the only way this makes sense to fire Saleh, which I do agree with. I've been saying Saleh should have been fired for a year now. But the only way this makes sense to go above Douglas's head is if Woody is going to try to bring Mike Vrabel out of his consulting job in Cleveland and put him in a position where in the offseason he can clean house, fire Douglas, fire everybody, and Vrabel takes over complete GM and head coaching control. And the reason why you're going to have to offer Mike Vrabel that is because I think there's going to be a lot of way more attractive head coaching openings in the offseason. If Dallas flames out, McCarthy could be gone. I think McDaniel could be gone in Miami if the season continues the way it is. I think if the Bills flame out this year, Sean McDermott could be a really rough offseason for Irish NFL head coaches. And
okay. I want to counter this, though. I would love Mike Vrabel in a different world to be the head coach of this team. This season is not over. They are going to play a game on Monday night that I believe is the most important Jet football game in a decade. And we're talking about who their coach is going to be next year.
That's the problem. That's
how
why
many
this
times,
is just,
that, guys.
But hold on, Pete. This is why this is so disruptive, because people want to now look forward to 2025 when you're 2-3.
Right.
But by the way, the AFC is kind of a joke when it comes to outside of the top two. The next best team is the Denver Broncos.
I will tell you
two.
That the last two seasons, the Jets have had games where if they win, Broncos, they are tied or in first place.
Okay, but hold on, Pete. Are the Denver Broncos a Super Bowl contender in your mind?
No, answer is and no. And the AFC is wide open, which is why it was critical to get this guy out, because you have to strike when the iron is hot.
How many times has that worked? It just doesn't.
It never worked.
It just doesn't work.
Here's my last question for you, all right? Are you giving up on this season?
I mean,
if they
obviously
lose, I do not think the Buffalo Bills are capable of losing three games in a row. I just don't.
But here's my question. Are you giving up on the Jets season in 2024 as it's just over? So I'm thinking about next year. Are you giving up on this season?
I think that if they lose on Monday, I think the season...
You're giving up on the season. Right, right. You want to know what the proof is? Pete.
That's a yes or no answer.
It's a yes or no answer, and everyone should answer it. Every single damn person who wants to call up today and talk about it, answer if you're giving up on the season. If you are, I'm going to disagree with you,
right,
but at least be honest about
it. Right. If you are giving up on the season, then you know what? This was the right decision
for you. Fine. Blow the whole thing
up. If you want to go talk about who the next coach is going to be, Mike Vrabel or anybody else, you've given up on the season.
That's my point, and that's exactly what I was going to say, bro. When you call up, and I like Pete. He's a loyal FAN caller. And the first thing you're talking about is Mike Vrabel in 2025. That means you're done with this season. And I'm going to make this very loud and clear to everybody listening. As pissed off as I am, as lack of confidence as I may now have, I am not giving up on this season. I think it's crazy to give up on this season. So the reason I'm annoyed today is because all I'm thinking about for now is how can they win in 2024? That's it.
Yeah.
It's not about next year and positioning yourself for Mike Vrabel or Bill Belichick or whoever you want to bring up. To me, it's how do you improve now? And I have a tough time buying firing a head coach after five games, as inept as he's been, is going to work, because it's never worked.
Right.
We can talk about Mike Vrabel. Trust me, we're going to have a lot of time to do it in January, maybe in December if this team stinks. But right now, I want in. All right, Woody Johnson speaking to the media. Unfortunately, we don't have audio because he's afraid to talk in front of people with audio. So, Sean, what are you hearing from the owner of the New York Jets?
Okay, within the last 30 seconds, his opening statement. This is one of the most talented teams ever assembled by the New York Jets. The change that I made, I believe, will bring new energy and positivity that will lead to more wins starting now. That's your first quote. I will continue to monitor.
All right. That's the first statement from Woody Johnson. And right out of the gate, he's not wrong. I've been a Jet fan my entire life in the Woody Johnson era, okay? His era as owner, which started in 1999-2000. Talent-wise, he's right. He ain't wrong. Those two teams that went to the AFC title game, I love those teams.
Right.
This team has got more talent. He's not wrong.
Without a doubt. But they haven't executed. And there's an accountability issue with this team. And so Woody Johnson's right. The question is firing your head coach five games in going to spark everybody to execute better? Is it going to change the culture? Is it going? It basically makes it seem like Robert Saleh was the problem.
Right. And look, Robert Saleh may not have been the solution, but the biggest problem with the New York Jets has been offense. Mm-hmm. It's been Aaron Rodgers. And if you want to go individually like Tiki did yesterday with individual assignments on big plays, that's great. That's awesome, because you can see stuff that 80% of us can't see, probably 90% of us can't see. If you want to rip Nate Hackett, or you want to rip the offensive line, or you want to rip Garrett Wilson, or rip Alan Lazard for all his drops, by the way, all fair game. But it starts and it ends with this quarterback. Mm-hmm. He is number one on the list in terms of why they're in the spot they're in right now. We'll continue to hear more from Woody Johnson, courtesy of Sean Morash, who's also waiting for an apology. Because me and him have fought a lot about Robert Saleh, the Jets, over the months, and he thinks he has a lot of victories today. Let's go to Drew in Comac. How you doing, Drew? Hello, Drew. Drew going once. All right, let's go to Anthony in Harlem. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, guys?
All good. Yeah.
Okay, so you said a couple key words that really matter, and the head coach sets it. Culture and accountability, right? The AFC is so wide open this year, and they are a talented team. And Teak, you tell me if I'm wrong. The head coach sets the culture. The head coach is the guy, when ADT can't pick up a 230-pound blitzing linebacker, he has to address that.
Right.
When John Simpson gets walked by ADT, he doesn't even put a hands on him, and he's in Aaron Rodgers' lap, he has to address that.
Right.
What I've seen over the last three years with this
offense, drop passes,
missed assignments,
right,
penalties, all this trash. And you know what they do? They do it, and they continue to do it. There's no accountability. So if Albrecht can come in and say, look, guys, we're all on notice now. Everything we do is going to be analyzed. So if you don't make the assignment or you drop the pass, guess where you're going to be? You're going to be on the bench, and someone else is going to be in there.
Yeah,
this is the only way to motivate your team.
You're right.
It's the only way.
No, you're right. And it creates you have to earn your right to play. Again, we talked about this with Brian Daboll 2 years ago. And you're starting to see a little bit of that again this season with the Giants, and it's why they played so well out in Seattle. But the culture has to be the expectation from top down. And if it's a coach, if it's a coordinator, if it's a star player, they all have to be held accountable. And if they're not, things just go awry.
Can a defensive coordinator hold his players accountable on dumb, mindless penalties? Because they've had that for years. I think Jeff's done a great job as DC,
yeah.
But we're talking about penalties and holding guys accountable. And what I'm asking you is, did he not have any responsibility in that since he was the DC?
Of course he did.
Okay, so then why are we thinking this is a magic wand situation?
I don't think it is. It feels like change for change's sake.
Okay.
And again, I'm not necessarily agreeing with this firing because I don't think the timing is any good. The history of this providing immediate success is very small. The history of doing something like this creating long-term success is also very small. And so you create this cycle of turnover that makes it impossible to build an organization. Mm. Impossible. You can't keep firing people and saying, the next guy will get it right. The next guy will get it right. Because ultimately, it's you. And so to me, this is... It's odd. The timing is weird, and I'm so interested to see what ultimately comes out about that.
Let's hear more from Woody Johnson.
All right. So real quickly on that note, just on Jeff Ulbrich, he said he's seen his relationship with the players. This is Woody Johnson, and he expects that Ulbrich will get the most out of this team when conquering the playoffs. Woody Johnson was also asked if Aaron Rodgers was involved directly in this decision. He said that he talked to Rodgers on Monday night, but they did not discuss this move at all.
Oh, BS. There's no way. There's no way. Like, okay, this is so political. How can you get around this?
That's disappointing.
Disappointing? That's
disappointing to know.
What do you mean?
That the owner called the star quarterback, mm-hmm. and the next day they fire the head coach.
Yeah, it's obvious what happened.
Right.
This is straight out of Richard Nixon's playbook. Like, Aaron Rodgers didn't say fire Robert Saleh. Maybe they didn't talk about him being removed or his job status, but they talked about the team. And if they talked about the team, they didn't talk about accountability. They didn't talk about the head coach's performance. They didn't talk about what was going wrong. That's like a mafia hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you know what to do. I mean, come on. And Woody's not that good at talking, so it's obvious that even when he says that without hearing the audio, that you know what happened. Like, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what happened on that conversation. Woody Johnson spoke to the quarterback of the team on Monday after an embarrassing loss in the United Kingdom. They talked about the team, right? You think they talked about RFK's role in the Trump campaign? I mean, come on. They talked about the freaking team. And what do you think they talked about? We think that they never mention leadership.
Yeah.
They never mention cadence or accountability or anything. Of course they did. Aaron Rodgers is full. I'm living in a weird world. Aaron Rodgers is Kevin Durant. Like, what the hell's the difference? Oh, yeah. Kevin Durant performed. Aaron Rodgers has done nothing. Done nothing. I don't know what the hell that was. He's done nothing. Anyhow, is Woody been asked about the Lebanese flag yet?
Not yet. He was asked about the offense. Woody Johnson said the majority of Jets' problems being on offense. He asked how this move will fix the offense. He said, we need to find ways to win. We're not going to do those, find ways to win, doing the same thing over and over again. Johnson believes that Ulbrich will add a spark of positivity. Those changes we have to make on offense, we're going to make on offense.
So positivity? All Robert Saleh did was be a professional cheerleader. So, they need more of that?
Apparently, hopes and dreams is how you fix the offense.
Come on, man.
Woody also said he did consult with Joe Douglas, but this was his decision, his being Woody Johnson's.
And why isn't Joe Douglas speaking? Is he scheduled to talk at any point?
Because he's not the leader of the team. Why is he speaking? He make this freaking decision. Mm. That's what we're learning here.
Well, how
about we
Woody
already.
Johnson to speak on camera first, unlike kind of cowardly doing this?
Right? No, I know this
is odd.
This is an odd thing, but whatever. I'm glad we got the quotes. It's good to hear from the owner, so
right.
I appreciate that. Even if we're not listening to him or watching him, but I do respect the honesty on I made this decision. This was not, like, he didn't pass the buck on Joe Douglas, which is a lie. And I'm glad he didn't lie, because I think that's the worst thing you could do. It's like if Ryan Hurley came in here and fired Tommy Lugauer.
Yeah.
And then said, but it's Evan's decision. And it wasn't my decision.
No,
I actually hated the decision.
Right. But
and
I got to
go
that.
On the radio and own it?
Right.
I don't want to own that.
He didn't do that. He actually is saying, I did it.
And I respect that.
Yes, I agree.
I give Woody that he's at least owning this decision. But that's the owner of the team. The owner of the team can do whatever they want. I understand that. But you hire a general manager to make football decisions, and this is a football decision.
I mean, this is the biggest football decision. And you know, usually, even though this doesn't seem to be the case here, the GM is tied to the head coach.
Right.
At least in some capacity. This feels like a washing the hands of that tie. Mm. And I'm only saying that because it's not fair to Robert Saleh.
Right.
And, you know, not that I'm defending his record, his win-loss record, because it's been exceedingly subpar. But it's also not fair to basically be blindsided this way. Go ahead.
I think I have a quote that Evan will enjoy. When asked about trying to find the right coach, Woody Johnson notes he's had a lot of experience, quote, doing this.
Who has?
Woody Johnson in finding coaches.
Oh, is he serious? He has a lot
just
of experience
you the
because he sucks and has to hire a new coach every 2 years.
They've been in the abyss for 55 freaking years.
And Woody, which ones have worked that well? Because the last three have been disasters. Todd Bowles lasted 2 years too long. Adam Gase was one of the worst hires maybe in the history of football. And Robert Saleh came in here with a lot of promise. And what's his win-loss record?
Yeah.
So don't tell me I've got a lot of experience. Yeah, you got a lot of experience doing things bad. That's like a guy who never actually hooks up with a woman saying, well, I have a lot of experience dating. Well, okay. And where are the dates going? Is it working?
I'm a loser.
Or is it one and done and then you're looking for another date?
Sometimes guys just like dinner. It's all good.
They pay for the dinner.
Yeah, are the Rooneys bad at hiring coaches because they only hire one every 30 years?
Yeah, they're terrible at it. Right. They have no experience. Right. They're losers.
Technically every 15. But.
Right. We'll continue to hear from Woody Johnson. Let's go to Drew and Comac. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. How you doing today? I actually think this is probably one of the best decisions that Woody ever made.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, ultimately, you can't essentially say that Aaron Rodgers was the only player to basically have an issue with them. I mean, I don't know if you guys were watching the game Sunday, but post-game, didn't Quincy Williams essentially throw him under the bus for the same reason?
Yeah. You know what I took Quincy Williams' quote was?
I felt like he was throwing everybody under the bus, though.
Yeah, and we played that yesterday. I guess you can go back on the Evan and Tiki podcast. We did that around, I think it was about 3 o'clock yesterday, if memory serves correct. Maybe a little bit earlier than that. But Lugie does a great job, or Sean does a great job, of labeling our podcast. So you can always go back and hear what we said at the time, but I'll give you a synopsis. I thought he was calling out the offense. I thought that was a real case of something you experienced in the locker room, something the 2016 Jets experienced in the locker room, where you get a defense versus offense issue. And that's how I took Quincy's comments when he talked about accountability. I think he was talking about this offense doesn't score enough points. We just played well enough, and he's right, the last 2 weeks against Denver and against Minnesota to win, and we didn't because we couldn't score touchdowns.
These quotes are unbelievable. They keep coming in.
Go ahead.
Woody Johnson, this is from Kim Martin, pushed back against the notion that the last two games resulted in Saleh's firing. Here's the Woody Johnson quote. I've had a couple years to think about this.
Oh, come on.
I just think we could do better as we have this new leadership. I'm confident that's going to happen. It's a new day that's welcome.
Okay.
Same old Jets.
Here's the problem, Woody. Here's the problem. You had an option during the offseason to hire a new head coach. You know, the clean way to hire a head coach. You hire a new staff, you hire a head coach you believe in, they institute their philosophies, their offense, their defense, and you start over. That was a viable option, okay? You chose not to. I was actually on your side. I own that. You decided to give Robert Saleh a year with this quarterback, with Nate Hackett, and see what happens. You, 5 games in, decided to reverse course. Don't tell me you thought about it last year, because if you thought about it last year, you should have done it when guys like Mike Vrabel and Bill Belichick were available.
Or any of these other coordinators.
Anyone
was available.
He's making things worse, Tiki.
Yeah.
I appreciate him talking, but he's literally pissing me off even more now.
I mean, the problem with that statement, and I don't want to dig into every single one as we currently are, but the problem with that statement is that it's like I want to be right both ways.
Right.
Right? I was right to keep him because it gives us a chance, but I'm also now right to fire him because he doesn't give us a chance.
Right. And look, I know that these are NFL beat reporters, and I love most of the guys on the staff. Can somebody ask a question, whether you think it's a conspiracy theory or not? Just give him one chance to answer once and for all
right.
if he got fired because of the Lebanese flag, if that factored in at all.
It made the news rounds in a significant way.
It's a news story. And Woody's going to say no way, of course. Let him be quoted as saying that. Has that happened yet, Sean?
I will just say this. It has not happened. What do you think is something else obscure he would have been asked about before the Lebanese flag?
Obscure?
Or just anything Jet-related?
Well, I mean, the Hassan Reddick holdout.
All right, so that's what we got before the Lebanese flag.
Oh, we got a Hassan Reddick holdout question.
Here we go.
You're joking, right?
Nope, I'm not joking. He was asked about
Hassan Reddick. Are they censoring the questions?
Hard to tell. It's a conference call like it's 1984, Tiki. Not even a Zoom.
You got to ask about the Lebanese flag. I'm sorry. But whether you believe it or not, because I know Connor Hughes already came out and said it's a conspiracy theory, it's not true. Can you ask the owner? Like, just ask the owner.
And maybe
I'm not even telling you it's true. I don't know what's true. But ask the freaking question. Because there are people who are going to think it's true.
Right. And I'm sure there are people that think it's true.
Who knows what Robert Saleh even thinks at this point? It's not like he's going to talk to anybody.
It's not over yet. We'll see what they do. But here's the Reddick. This is something I've never seen before. You have to be part psychologist and part some other gist to try to figure out what is actually going on. I hope that the young man can come to the team. We welcome him with open arms. When he gets here, he'll find a very welcome locker room.
Okay. That's great.
He's not playing this year.
I'm now convinced he's not playing this year. I read this quote from Woody. Hassan, get in your car, drive down 95, and come to the New York Jets. Right. We can meet you and get you an escort right into the building. Look at Woody.
Can I ask a question? Why is that this is hypothetical. It's into the wind.
Go ahead.
Why is that a relevant question relative to Robert Saleh getting fired?
It's not.
It's not. It has nothing to do with anything.
It's your one chance to ask Woody about it because it is a story, even if it's not a current story.
We know what the story is with Hassan Reddick. It's been asked and answered and told a thousand times in the last 5 weeks. We need him. We need him. He wants a new deal. He's not coming without a new deal. He's not getting a new deal.
Right.
Why is that relevant?
Well, it's not as relevant as asking Woody Johnson, hey, national and international news agencies have picked up a story that Robert Saleh wore a Lebanese flag, which, by the way, is normal in the NFL to show your culture and where you're from. But in this case, it annoyed a lot of people because they thought, right or wrong, it was some kind of political message. Okay to ask the question.
And then 2 days later, your coach is fired.
Right. That's not me saying that's the reason he was fired. I don't know, but you can ask the question and let the owner, who never speaks, at least answer it.
I don't disagree, but just devil's advocate. He's worn the flag before, so maybe that's part of the reason that it really is a non-story made by non-football people.
Okay, hold on. He's worn the flag before? A year ago?
Yes.
Did Israel get attacked a year ago?
Yes, but it was after that he wore it. In week 7 and 8.
Okay, but is it as intense with Lebanon then as it is now?
Were they dropping bombs on Lebanon?
Right. I understand.
Like, there's a timely factor to this.
Right.
Look, we need to at least be open-minded about, okay? It's also the anniversary of October 7th. It was very close to that.
Yes.
Like, it's okay to ask questions. That doesn't mean you're saying it happened or that's the reason he was fired, but it's okay to at least talk about it. And when you have a chance to ask the owner, is he still talking? Maybe they'll ask him. I don't know, but he should be asked. That's all I'm saying.
Woody Johnson is still talking. In fact, he has good news for Jets fans. He said this is the best team he's had in 25 years.
I know. We did it 10 minutes ago, Tommy.
Jets are 2-3.
We did that 10 minutes ago. Please pay attention to the show. Anyhow, let's go to Tony in Bayonne. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah. The only thing I question is the timing of this. If they beat Buffalo next week on Monday night, they're tied for the first place. But now you hear about Rodgers' phone call and everything. I kind of answered my own question. If they lose and the new head coach comes in, now they're another game back.
Right.
Now you're looking at, 2-4. How does that going to look?
Well, I guess the question would be, Tiki, on Monday night, the Jets are playing the most important game they've played in 9 years.
Right.
Does this give them a better chance to win that game?
Not
I mean, it's a simple question,
not
but
operationally, not schematically,
okay,
not anything other than we did something, so guys are going to be galvanized because apparently the only reason this would make sense is if you hated Robert Saleh. And I don't think that team hates Robert Saleh. I don't believe that that's the case.
No, I could see the team being frustrated by, the differences between the offense carrying the offense. But Robert Saleh, and you said this last week, and I believe you, Robert Saleh had nothing to do with the offense.
Yeah.
He had nothing to do with it.
He doesn't. It's Nate and Aaron. And the decisions that get made on Sundays or whenever they're playing Thursdays or Mondays, offensively, is Nate and Aaron.
Our last caller asked a very basic question, but it's such a good one because this is where my mindset is at. I don't have the mindset of next year. I don't have the mindset right. of what does this future of the Jets look like. My mindset is they're 2-3. Yeah. They're a win away from being tied for first place. This season is not over. As mad as I've been about this team, this season is not over. So simply, what gives the Jets the best chance to win the most important game they've played in 9 years? Is firing the head coach 6 days before that a good thing? Does that make you closer to winning that game? Or does that make the job at hand more difficult?
I think it makes the job more difficult because right now, or at least not today, tomorrow, and probably Thursday, every question that you're going to be asked and faced and the conversations that are taking place in your meeting rooms or personally between players, it's going to be about the firing of your head coach. And when you have a season, a lot of season left to play, it's an unnecessary distraction.
No question.
Now, if Woody Johnson has some other reason and he felt this compelled, then I hope we find out before this press conference is over. But right now, it just feels hurried. Is it the right move ultimately? Maybe. But the timing is very curious.
More of your calls and reaction. More from Woody Johnson. And do not worry, Yankee fans. Yankee fans are pissed off about what happened last night. And there's a lot to digest from last night and moving forward. Plus, Met fans, we're almost there. The clock continues to count down until we get set for Game 3 from a rockin' city field of the National League Division Series.